Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
What's up, guys? IL's Dan Kaplan here, and I have a very special podcast here. We are jacked up to host Andrew Gvozden from Goalie Smith. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here.
Hopefully by now you've seen the new 2024 rankings for the class of 2024, which includes some shifting in the goalies. It's a, to me, historically deep goalie class. I feel like there are a ton of excellent players here. Nobody better to break it all down with, and I am jacked up to get into it with you. First of all, I think we got to take a quick second here and just pretend that nobody knows what Goalie Smith is, and you have a little bit of an opportunity to kind of tell us a bit about it and kind of what Goalie Smith is and what its mission is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Man, it's like a big question there, but I'll try to answer it as clean and quickly as I can. Bottom line is we're a community of goalies, right? Okay. So there's myself, Andrew Gvozden, and my brother, Mike Gvozden. We're the co-founders of the company. Our employees are Matt Gill from upstate New York, Meg Taylor, who is the only Tewartin winning goalie on this planet, and Jackson Moore, who is the brother of a couple famous goalies now, Anderson Moore, who's a freshman at Georgetown, and Pat Moore, who's a graduate student at Johns Hopkins, and he does our film work and media. So there's the five of us, and you know, like I said, we're a community of goalies. So we travel around the country working with usually the best goalies and the most hungry goalies from middle school all the way to college and current college players. We travel around working with them, honing their skills. And we also are here based in Baltimore and host sessions, as you guys know, at Dew Burns, which is our local facility and kind of our home here. So goalies also come in and travel in to work with us in our home area as well. So we just got back from Atlanta, which was a blast. We had 120 goalies. It was a full sellout session between high school men and boys and the women's side and also the middle school boys. And it was an incredible session. So we're excited to come back and do another event, Winter Week, which is coming up here in Baltimore, where a lot of goalies and a lot of top goalies, especially in the college level, are coming in to work with us. So it's a really good time of year. And I'm excited to dive into goalie rankings with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, to me, there's just no group better that has identified, you know, a niche group like this than Goalie Smith. And more than just identifying the guys, it's working with them, it's having a relationship with them, it's getting to know them. And like, for that reason alone, I find that this conversation is going to be excellent. Like, your insight through the process has been spectacular, and really, really thankful to have you on here.
Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it. You know, one of the things that we do, not just training goalies, is mentor them. And every year where I'm fortunate, and myself, Coach Gill and Coach Meg's heavily involved, and Coach Mike as well on the recruiting side and helping athletes, but also helping schools and coaches navigate the process as well. It's one of the best parts of the job is that we get to, you know, tell our firsthand experience on working with certain goalies, but also goalies that we haven't worked with. We do a phenomenal job. Myself, Coach Meg, and Coach Gill sort through a lot of film, especially goalies that can't get to us. And we want to make sure that we're getting accurate data so that coaches understand that this isn't about, you know, you have to work with Goalie Smith and we're only going for Goalie Smith goalies. It's about us understanding the goalie landscape and being able to provide valuable information to coaches as well, because we want to see them find success and also understand that we are an ally in this and that we want the best for everybody. So it's a really fun position to be in, kind of Switzerland. You know, we don't have any club affiliations. So we're in a beautiful spot, and we've got an incredible, incredible base. Our Goalie Smith goalies are a very loyal bunch, and the parents are as well. And we love them. So it's all a dream job, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, not to just keep running down this, and I do have plenty of questions for you, a personal one for you here is a guy, Garrett Taylor. I'm sure I know names. Obviously, I'm yet to name a human being on this earth that you didn't know, much less a goalie. But yeah, Garrett Taylor is a guy that is a family friend that like just raves about his experience. So yeah, certainly excited to have you on and firsthand know of all of your insight and all of that ability that you guys are able to provide for those guys.
Appreciate it, man. Garrett Taylor is a long time guy, man. I love Garrett Taylor. He's great. Good family as well, as I'm sure you know. But
I shot him on a tennis court in like 2010. and scored every shot I took on him. And then you guys had him for like two sessions and I couldn't score on him. And I'm like coming up and like getting one-on-ones in just to kind of boost my confidence before I step back out again. I'm like, you worked with them twice. Like, what happened? You know, he's like, I don't really know, but I like going there and I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, it's kind of addicting for kids. Like they come in and, you know, it's a lot. It's if you're a first time at Goaliesmith, it's like, what did I get myself into? Like, this is, especially if you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Most people know now and they see on social media. So you kind of have an idea what you're getting into. But even if you do, even if you watch us on Instagram and follow us, once you actually come and experience something, whether it's like a training session here in Baltimore or one of our camps on the road, it's a pretty cool experience because I've never been held accountable like this and taught like this, but I've also never seen so many reps in my dang life. I'm getting, you know, shot. So it's a cool balance of coaching and a ton of reps that really produce results quickly, as you mentioned with Garrett. But he put in a ton of hard work. He's a hard worker.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so like I said, we have these 24s, updated rankings here. We're going to kind of slowly get into some specifics, but I think just kind of looking at the class as a whole, to me, it feels so deep. It feels like there's a ton of guys that have the chance to come in and impact right away. It feels like there is a ton of talent across the entire class. It feels like skill sets, like there's a bunch of different unique styles within this class. To me, like, if we were to do a top 100 tomorrow, there might be 15 goalies that were in it. How does this kind of 24 class kind of compare to some of the other ones of late from like a whole in terms of like their skill set and perspective from like kind of the outside?
I'm gonna be honest. It feels like we're having the same conversation every year at this point. Like the last couple of goalie classes that have come through have been incredible. I mean, you look back to the 22 class. I mean, there's going to be some big name goalies from that class that are going to be starting this year, Division One, a ton. Some have already have experience. Some are waiting behind big goalies. And then you fly into the 23 class, which was, you know, some guys at the top were Anderson Moore, Caleb Fayok, Matt Tully, some guys that are really good goaltenders. And then we fly into this class, and it seems like a little bit more of the same. So, you know, while I think this class is fantastic, it's seeming like the goalie play is A, getting a little bit more respect, and guys are, we're finding more numbers, at least so it seems, in the top 100, in the top 50, and rightfully so. I think the position has just been elevated. So when I look at this class, I think you nail it, though. There's a lot of guys with different skill sets. I'm excited to kind of dive in and talk about each guy's skill sets.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the other thing I feel like with this group is it feels like they've evolved. I feel like, you know, we've got some guys that have climbed. We've got some guys that have risen. Like, what do you kind of attribute to some of those, you know, differences perhaps now than maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago?
Well, I think a couple of things, right? I think the difference between sophomore, junior, and then junior to senior year is like astronomical. I think a lot of people think the senior to freshman year of college jump is the biggest, and it might be, like, it's definitely a big change. But, you know, I feel, just from analyzing the position for as long as we have and just watching, you know, every summer, you know, more and more and more, you know, games, and I feel like the jump from maturity level, especially when you're a starter on your varsity team, you just naturally are going to get better. So I think that there is a big jump year to year. Two is, I think I look at this class and I've reviewed these names a couple of times before this podcast, and I just see a lot of dedicated goalies, a lot of goalies that are really serious about their craft. Goalies that I can think of countless conversations over text message in person about their game. It takes a mature athlete to really ask deep questions and approach coaches. I know that we all say that as coaches that we want that, but it is tough as a kid to really, you know, be that analytical at a young age on your position. And I look at a lot of these guys and they're super mature in that aspect where they've been asking the right questions since they were freshman and sophomore. So I look at this class and I just see a lot of like really intelligent, but like super dedicated goalies, like dating, you know, way back to some of these guys, like seventh and sixth grade of getting their first work, at least with us in.
Absolutely. And I think within that, like, a lot of talent, right? I think there's a lot of guys set to come in and kind of take the stage. For me, I think that there are three kind of headliners, so to speak, of the class. That's Graham Stevens, Ben Friedman, and Tade Winn. What are some of the things that when we talk about those guys that kind of separate them from the pack a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it, though. I think those three guys certainly deserve to have their name kind of recognized in the top. And there's some other guys that we'll probably talk about on here who are right there up there with them or close behind. But those three names are certainly, I would agree, names that should be talked about. And with Tade, the word that comes to mind to me is balance. Like, he's just a very completely balanced goalie. And that's important in college. It's important to have control over your footwork, to be able to control rebounds. And on top of that, he has size. And size doesn't always mean great. Size can often mean slow as well. And that's not the case with him. So he's just a fully overall balanced goalie who, you know, you can kind of be very certain that his skill set is going to translate immediately and he's not going to have a drop off at all. Then you got Ben Friedman, and he's got that it factor. When you think of like big game changing goalies who can make 18 to 20 saves and some in spectacular fashion, he does that consistently and with a lot of eyes on. And that also is something that translates so well at the next level, being able to not only make saves, but do it with eyes on and pressure on. And at a young age, he's already done that a lot. So another guy who, as you said, is going to translate well and compete right away. And then lastly, Graham Stevens, size, control over his size. You know, he's got that dream build from a recruiting standpoint that you want in a goalie. Big, tall, rangy, but it can also move and has phenomenal stick work. His work ethic is incredible. He's a very high IQ goalie as well. And that is an obvious translation to success at the next level as well. Clearly he's headed to Harvard. So he's dialed, off the field as well. And you just got to love that. So I think you're right. I think those three guys are going to be game changers at some point in their career, maybe soon, maybe a little later. But I think all three of them will no doubt take the field and put up some insane highlights. And we might see them even past college across.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to kind of keep rolling here, and we mentioned those guys as like kind of very specific headliners of the 2024 class. There's obviously a lot of guys that, are kind of in the mix as well and right on the edge that are constantly kind of pushing those guys as well. I think for me, there's a few guys that kind of bring different skill sets to the table after them that I think are really special. Timmy Piacentini, Grayson Manning, Carter Hagen, and Buck Cunningham, as well as Luke Origi as well. I think those guys kind of make up that next group. And within that, there's probably plenty of arguments for who kind of jostles which positions. But which of those names kind of stands out to you kind of the most and, is bringing a ton to the table in your eyes?
Well, I'll start with Timmy P, who was the first guy you mentioned. He's a phenomenal. First of all, he's a phenomenal person. And we've gotten to know him for a while now, and he's just a fantastic kid. And that's important. When you're building a room, you want to do that. And nobody does that better than Cornell. Cornell is so fantastic. They've got a great staff, and they do a phenomenal job of picking the right people and targeting the right people in the recruiting process. I've been fortunate to have a good relationship, especially with Coach Stevens over there, and I really respect what they do in the process. They're very transparent about what they're doing, especially with the athletes. So a lot of kudos and respect to them for not only getting Matt Tully, but also getting Timmy P. I always tell them that they're goalie rich, and Timmy P's great. I watch Timmy P play, and I always tell him, I'm like, man, you are one of the best low saving goalies I've ever seen. He is smooth, and he's got great rebound control, fantastic stick, and he's worked really hard. Timmy was not always like that. I've seen early on when he was a very underrated and kind of raw prospect to like, and being challenged with another good goalie who's now at Yale joining Lawrenceville. And I've seen that evolution of him and him competing and just using that to get better. So to me, that's a good sign that Cornell got a good one again. Other names on there. You said Grayson Manning. I haven't watched anything but film on him. I have, yet to see him in person, unfortunately, but through you, I've heard phenomenal things, and through others I have as well. And his highlight tapes make him look really good. And I'm really biased towards Canadian goalies. I think they learn, especially through box, a very physical style of goalie that is sometimes lacking in certain areas of the United States that we really try to kind of change or to steer towards. And it seems that every Canadian goalie, and we do get a dozen or so a year that come through our program, they have this physicality behind them. So I just trust whenever somebody from Canada says somebody's good because they usually are good.
Yeah, and I haven't seen him in person. I have seen a little bit of film. His highlight tape you mentioned is spectacular. But word of mouth from Grayson Manning is spectacular. I mean, everybody who has seen him in person walks away saying, like, make sure you have awareness of Grayson Manning as a prospect.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. Speaking of highlight films, you said Buck Cunningham. I think he's got a phenomenal highlight film. I watched that when I remember talking to Duke at the time when they were discussing recruiting him and watching the film and being like, yeah, you're right. Like this is really clean stuff, both in and out of the cage, which, you know, I wasn't the best out of the cage. So I always appreciate someone who's got some skill and he certainly has it.
I love that point. I'm going to segue with it because I do have a question here kind of along those lines. You know, you always hear about teams saying like, they're neck and neck on ball stoppers. He's a better saver, or he's a better in the clear, a little more composed, so we go with him. A lot of teams going and shifting into that like kind of 10-man mentality. Do you think we'll start to see the opposite of coaches saying like, they're similar ball savers, but he's so much more active and better in the ride that like we may be able to do more with him? Do you see that kind of manifesting into recruiting at all?
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the top goalies and they're just freaks out of the cage. I mean, just like look at the top level. You go and you look at like Liam Entenmann, like you watch him move in the cage and it's like nobody else on the level. He just moves differently. So there, I think I'll say this. When you get to college, you see so many shots, whether you like it or not, whether you're a goalie who puts in work before and after practice or you just see minimal reps. Minimal reps is a lot. So you're going to get peppered with shots. You really need to recruit based on raw abilities. And I truly believe that. And I think we've done a good job of shifting the focus away from big saves to clean saves, like goalies that are really good at controlling rebounds naturally because of the way that they move in the cage, because they've been taught the right way or they've kind of learned it themselves the right way. And also the ability to like get the ball up and out. The game is so fast now. Possessions matter. Whether we like it or not, the game is shifting closer to sixes, and we have to be good in and out of the cage because it's going to require it for endurance and just stamina and being able to just stay in there long enough. Luckily for me, it was like you could hold the ball forever and there was no shot clock. And, you know, there was a time where if they shot the ball and you ran it out, you got like 5 seconds to get back in the cage and I would walk my sweet time back in the cage. And, but those days are gone. So I think it's important to your point. I think it's so important for coaches to look and find really good athletic goalies. I mean, you look at the goalies these days who are doing anything. I mean, they are either just veteran goalies who have been around forever or freak athletes. And a lot of them err on that side. And I think it should be that. And the standard should be not stick the big kid in the goal. It should be put the person who's, you know, almost most athletic in the goal.
And I love your point of shifting a little bit away from the big dramatic save to the quick, clean save. So now, you know, the dramatic save where you're on your back and now you can't even get an outlet out if there's a streaker, like those days kind of winding down and more of like working to be really clean and like control rebounds and be able to quickly get your head up and sprawl and flip your hips and be athletic. Like those types of things. When it comes to being clean, are there any guys in this 2024 class that maybe we haven't talked about yet that kind of pop in terms of, you know, their ability to be technically sound, fundamental, and like you said, how you worded it as really clean through their saves?
Yeah, Andrew Cook. He is, somebody that we didn't mention yet, I believe. At least I don't think he was originally on that list that you read out. But he, I mean, he's a guy that if you know Andrew Cook, he's obsessed with the cross. He's very dedicated, like a lot of the goalies that we work with and that we've been fortunate to work with. He's dedicated to the core so much that when he was younger, you know, his Instagram, he would upload videos of him doing stick work, and he has unreal abilities because of how hard he's worked. So in terms of fundamentally sound, he's
he's super fundamentally sound. And, you know, Hopkins is now obviously gotten to be a name that's going to be probably knocking on Final Four weekend, and they're going to start attracting very good goalies as they have with Chase Erlin and some other guys down the pipeline. So it's going to be a competitive room, but you know, he's super talented, and I wouldn't count him out to get into Hopkins and show what he can do, because he's got a great core, a great base, and there's not really many flaws in his game. So that would be my answer to that question.
Love it. Love it. And so kind of to peel back the curtain a little bit, like we said, there's a list. We talked through a little bit about some of those guys. I had originally capped my board at 25 guys. I did a little math. There's a guy, at least one from Canada, Alabama, Wyoming, Indiana, and at least 16 states represented on that list of 25 guys, which is now 26 as you demand it. But
we won't say who I asked you to add. You know, I for the record here, you know, I want to be certain that this is obviously your rankings, and I have no affiliation with this. In fact, you put it out before I even had the chance to look at it. So all you here, but posting it, we have now, I've requested that you have added one person to it because of how hard he's worked and how good he looks, and will remain anonymous for good reason.
Bingo, 100%. And so with that said, kind of those like state representation, like, does that surprise you at all? Does it seem right on par? Like, how do those numbers fit with your expectations?
I mean, it's just really cool to see. It's cool to see. I mean, it happens almost every year. I mean, you know, like again, Alabama, like I love that, you know, you're talking about Troy Capshaw in this class, then you've got Anderson Moore in the 23 class. There's another good Alabama goalie in the pipeline who I know is also coming and most likely going to be headed D1. So it is cool to see places like that, you know, pop up. Obviously international with Canada, you love to see opportunities going up north there too. And it's fun. I mean, it makes it so that kids who are not from a hotbed have a dream and realize that it is possible. And you don't need to be in Maryland or Connecticut and New Jersey or Massachusetts. You can be in Alabama, you can be in Colorado, you can be in Texas, you can be in Missouri, and you can make it. It all depends on how hard you work.
The high school element, I feel like, is such an interesting aspect of the goalie position. You know, like some teams put a huge emphasis on scout. Every team in college puts an emphasis on scouting. Not every team in high school does. You know, like some teams are going to be really structured with what defenses they want to run. Some teams are going to have a lot of options of what they're going to run. Some are going to be very basic. You know, how do you kind of address those types of things with maybe the high school guys that you see that aren't at, you know, a Malvern Prep or a McDonough or, you know, one of those prep schools, but are still looking to make those types of strides to be able to get to the college level and be ready to command a college defense?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, to answer your question, that's a great question because that's so important. While there is, you know, goalies from Alabama that are, you know, representing Alabama and doing great things, and, you know, the consistent Alabama ball is just not going to level up to like a Maryland ball consistently, to your point. However, I think the most important thing that you can do as an athlete, especially as a goalie, is find opportunities to play and mix in with that talent. And obviously that sometimes costs money and that can be a barrier for some. But, you know, getting to play and mixing yourself in and finding opportunities to play higher talent and with higher talent is the most important thing that you can do as an athlete. I think at a young age, you know, for goalies specifically, seeing shots faster than, you know, shots that you normally see, especially from people older than you, is important. But to me, you know, to nail what you do and to be living in, to nail what you said and to be living somewhere that's not a hotbed, the most important thing that you can do is reach out to club teams, to showcases, to tournaments, and say, hey, I'm a free agent. Or even because it's, you know, let's say you don't have a club team that competes at that level. You know, you need to put yourself out there and try to find an opportunity to play that level in order to kind of acclimate to it and to get better.
100%. And then how about like from the actual specific, like addressing of the defense and like, you know, there's just so much that is different at the college level in terms of like scheme and all that type of stuff. Is there anything that those guys can kind of look to try and do to help themselves in that type of frame? Maybe it's like IQ stuff or whatever it is.
I mean, the best answer to that question is to watch college lacrosse and to watch film of goalies. Like, we put our goalies and we make them watch film, and you learn so much. I mean, at least most of us, I believe, from what I've learned and from how I learned, is visually. I think the best thing that you can do is watch ball. It's also kind of kind of the same thing. Sometimes we ask, you know, groups who like, you know, can you name who's in the Final Four? And you'd be kind of surprised. Sometimes some groups are like, right. You're like, okay, that's a problem. Like, if you truly love this position, it doesn't happen so much anymore. But when we first started out, you know, that was definitely something that would happen. And we would be astounded by the answers sometimes. And because if you truly want to take your game to the next level, you need to see what people at the next level are doing, and you need to mirror it or at least try it or add, subtract, or and also make your own judgments on how, you know, for instance, other goalies are playing while they're playing, so that you can identify things that they're doing right or wrong. So to me, the best way to do that, if you don't live in a place like that, first, you got to have somebody who can shoot fast. That's huge. You got to find that just so you can get challenged. Once you have that, as long as you're, you know, up to date and watching, you know, your skills will translate. Obviously, the hard part is getting a school to take a chance on you and you know, give you a look in college. But as long as you're seeing good shot speed and you are educating yourself by watching film, even if you don't have a mentor, someone that can teach you, is watching. I think that's how a lot of the best athletes, at least the ones that we've trained, learn is through mimic and just loving the position so much that they obsess over watching film.
Of course. Yeah. I love that answer. I'm a huge, huge film nerd. So that
I know you guys are, you got all the inside lacrosse guys are. I think it's important. You know, I think it's something that I wish I had gotten into at an earlier age. It just wasn't readily accessible like it is now. Easy to upload, easy to already edited and chopped like it was. We were still popping CDs in at that time, even when I was in college. So, you know, I think it's important, to your point, to start learning at least how to diagnose your film, and at least at the high school age. There definitely is a point where it's too young to be looking at your film, and I think you should just be enjoying the sport and learning the ropes, and you know, I think there is a cap on that, and I don't want to get too deep there, but I think when you're in high school, it's time to start, you know, turning on your own film at least to diagnose and see what you're doing wrong.
Absolutely. And so kind of to shift back a little bit out of the general kind of thought process and a little bit more into some of these specific 2024s. And
yep.
I don't want to go too far into too many more guys. I know we have a little bit of a time crunch here, but there's a couple guys that I really wanted to specifically hit on. One of them is a guy that has just crushed every inside lacrosse event that I've ever seen him play at. And that's, and I'm going to butcher the last name here, but that's Daniel Domeniconi. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Glad
got
I
it.
Have that. Have my back there for me.
Got it.
He's a guy that's headed to Towson, but every time I've ever seen him, like if you had told me he was going to, you know, any of the ACCs, any of the like top five schools from, you know, the country from last year, if he was going to any of those institutions, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. What to you is kind of one of the differences between some of those guys that end up, you know, going to a Towson or going to UMass, going to, you know, some of those schools and end up going and having great careers, but maybe just weren't quite the prospects to some of those other like upper echelon schools?
First off, it's a great shout out for Dan. He's a wonderful kid and awesome family, and he's going to be super pumped, I'm sure, when somebody passes this along to him to let him know.
And when I say crush IL events, good. I mean, he
and that's deserved. And then the shout out is deserved. Then your eyes are not lying. I mean, the other part of recruiting goalies is you have to show up, right? There's one thing to have a good skill set and to be vouched for, but and that's the beautiful thing about what we do is that I think a lot of people think that like we call in favors, and like I can't do that with a single college coach. It's not like I can just be like, you're taking this guy. And I wouldn't have it that way even if I could, because it's important for them to do their research and watch. And there's no coach I've ever met ever who is just blindly taking somebody from us and they've done their research through film, but also watching in person. You have to go see somebody play. I believe in that. I believe you need to watch them play, to feel their energy, to see how they do. And to your point, like, if he's done that consistently enough, then he deserves a shout out. And that's exactly what you need in a college goalie, is somebody who can consistently string together performances like that.
100%. 100%. Awesome. So a couple more guys that I kind of want to just get a little bit more of your opinion on, whether it was geography or whatever, that just kind of, you know, makes them a little bit interesting. One of them is Caden Kirst. You know, obviously his family is a lacrosse pedigree right now, that it's just particularly popular. What do you think about him as a prospect, and what do you know about him as a prospect, as a goalie?
It's funny. Some coach told me this, and I'll never forget it. I won't say which coach told me this, but he said, never bet against the Kirst. He said, never bet against the Kirst, because just when you think, oh, this one's not as good as this one, or this one is better than this one, they are all good, and they are all good athletes, and they will all be good for a long time. So that quote stuck with me. And I mean, Caden Kirst's transformation as a goaltender, which we've seen a lot from afar. We saw him early on in the beginning, when he was a little bit younger. CJ was a shooter for us. This is like during like the COVID years, where we were fortunate to do a few events, and Chase Erlin was around, and he got CJ Kirst to come, and he brought Cade. And his transformation from then to now is like astounding. I mean, not only has he gotten bigger size wise, but he's a very, very good goalie, and in my mind isn't recruited because he's a Kirst, but he's recruited because he's earned it. So never bet against a Kirst. And I think that he's probably going to do great things, just like his brothers have. He's talented.
Yeah. And so he's one that I have seen in person, and I do love his game, his size, obviously pops when you watch him. But he's fiery. Like, he plays with like an energy that I think is infectious. I saw him playing with Tri-State, and I thought that like the defense in front of him just played harder, like all those types of things. And in the club world, like in the summer when it's hot and games get tough, like that type of element, I feel like especially is important in those situations. And I definitely felt that just watching Tri-State and watching him in those games.
They must walk around with like sticks in their hands in the house, because their stick skills are all insane. Like, they all have incredible hands.
I mean,
you could feel the full team.
You're looked at weird when you don't have a stick in your hand, I guess.
I can imagine, but you could field an entire team of Kirsts and culturally have a great team and probably crush it on the field as well.
You'd win a lot of games too.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Well, let's hit one kind of more aspect before we kind of part ways here. But obviously there's the glory, like the fun side, the great part of talking about all these rankings. But there's also the downside, right? Like, guys that'll fall, like guys that, you know, really wished that they tuned into this podcast and don't hear their name called, like those types of things. What's the best piece of advice you can give a guy that, you know, is either going through a skid or was, like we said, hoping to hear their name, hoping to see their names on these types of lists, and it's not there? Like, what's your advice for those guys right now?
And this is no shot to rankings, to your rankings, to anybody's rankings. It is one of the hardest things on the planet to rank goalies. It is so, or athletes in general.
Take your shots, baby. Let them fly.
No. Here's my take on this, right? Go to those goalies who are like, A, you didn't say my name, I'm not coming to Goaliesmith anymore. Or B, I just, like, what the heck? And there are definitely some names that you and I disagree with, and there's people on here that I think that should be on there, and I also respect that, right? That's part of rankings. And I do like parity, because it shouldn't be perfect. We all shouldn't have the same rankings. But to those people, I would say this. Go back 6 years, 7 years, look at the names of the goalies that were ranked and see how many have panned out and see how many have dropped. You're going to notice that there are definitely some people that were smartly ranked and appropriately ranked, and they were in the right spot. But you're also going to find some goalies that you've never even heard of, that never touched the field because of either work ethic or somebody else that supplanted them, or just held the job in front of them too long. There's so many reasons why goalies and athletes don't work out at the next level. So, you know, while we all want to get recognized, and I remember being an athlete and getting annoyed when I didn't get recognized, You have to realize that like none of that matters. And I know people say that, but truly go back and look and see how many you recognize versus how many you don't. And you'll realize that like none of us can predict the future. So we do the best that we can to appropriately put people based on where they are now and what we've seen, but everything can change when you get to college based on a million different factors. So, you know, if you're not on it now, you know, you'll be on it later. If you truly believe in your talents and you do the right thing and you make a name for yourself at the next level.
Absolutely. That's perfect. So well said. And then let's go the opposite too. Maybe you're a guy that, you know, you were the first name we said, or, you know, you're one of the guys that is at the top of all these lists and you're always talked about. Like, what's your advice to those guys to kind of like stay level and stay hungry?
A lot of times, you know, it's a great question. And there are definitely many cases of guys who have been ranked at a high level and just, you know, again, as we said, didn't pan out. But I think a lot of the people that are at that level, we talked about Ben, you know, we talked about, you know, Tade, we talked about Graham. The reason those guys are there is because they are pretty level-headed. They are, like, you know, successful because of that, right? The cream is going to rise to the top, and they've been put in pressure scenarios. Now, there's nothing like a college game. There is a big jump between high school and college. Now, there's way more eyes on than when we played at the high school level, but there's nothing like college lacrosse. It's what everybody dreams of, and it is pretty spectacular to be a starting athlete for a team. So, you know, I would just say to those guys, you know, the job isn't done, but I think they know that. Like those three guys specifically, and the other names that we mentioned, and there's so many more names that I wish I could, you know, obviously plug in here, but then we'd just be handing out participation trophies. However, you know, to those guys that are at the top, they already know the target's on your back, and it's a tough spot to be in. It's sometimes more advantageous to be the underdog because the expectations are not on you. That's why you often see sophomore slumps, right? You see guys in freshman year pop off and have a spectacular year, especially the goalie position, because it's so fun. As I can talk from experience, you know, I got lucky to play my freshman year and there's no pressure. There was no pressure at all. So it allowed me to play free. And as soon as, you know, they have seen you and a lot of these guys have been seen, the expectations are on. And here's the last thing I'll say, no matter who you are, no matter how high ranked you are, there's always somebody before you and there's always going to be somebody after you that's been being recruited to make sure that the goalie position is well taken care of. So you always got to stay hungry. You have to stay even keeled. And the ones that can handle success the best usually do maintain it the longest.
Love it. Love it. Another great answer there from you. And this will be our last one. We'll wrap on this.
Go ahead,
one,
man.
But again, we're going to keep it kind of in the same vein of just like general goalie kind of mindset, thought, all that type of stuff. But, you know, goalies are always looked at as, you know, the captain, the leader, this, that of the defense, you know. What's your advice to these guys, you know, everybody that is in this kind of mix in this range that we've been talking about, and everybody that's a goalie that's listening to this podcast right now as well? Like, all of these guys have like very high aspirations right now. What's your advice to those guys as they hit kind of the final stretch heading into their senior season of high school to kind of, you know, put forward during this exact time right now?
I would say this. One, the first thing I would say is find out what your leadership style is. I think everybody has a different way of leading. And I think a lot of times, sometimes people get voted captain and they think they have to like be this big boisterous voice, when instead the reason that people voted them captain was more of their actions and how they handle themselves. So if you can find that out at a young age, it's such an advantage. So figure out what your leadership style is going to be, because you're now a senior in high school. This is your final season. Before you head off, you have a chance to leave your high school program better than it was for you, and leave your mark on it and have that, you know, good feeling and good bond moving forward to college. Figure out what your leadership style is with your current players, because one day you'll be called on again to do it. And it might be early on. It might be freshman year. You might be thrown into a role of a starter and you gotta have to respond or find yourself on the bench. So it's important to know what that style looks like, because it could be senior year or your fifth year, you know, for whatever reason as well. So whenever you do get called to be a leader, you need to know how to lead. And I think senior year of high school is a great learning tool. So don't waste this year, you know, kind of signing off because college is on the way. Use it to really see what you can do before you leave so that you're setting up your college career to be as best as it can be.
Awesome. Another one. You have crushed this podcast, my man. Anything else that you have for the IL listeners here before we sign off?
No, I'm excited. You guys do such a fantastic job. And you take your time to do your research and you make your opinions your own, which is what I think everybody should do. You know, see for yourself and do research. You guys have done a great job with this list. You know, there's definitely going to be more names that move around. It's just the nature of how these kind of things work. But I'm excited to see where these guys are in a couple of years and to look back at this podcast and how we talked about them at the time and probably how accurate we were.
Of course, 100% accuracy is our only expectation here. But yeah, of course, you know, this is an always evolving process, rankings, ratings, all of it, you know, like it's a constant analysis and guys are always kind of rising and falling, right? It's a little bit like stocks, you know, like guys are just going to rise a little bit. It'll be down one day. It could be up another day. And it's not to say that it's just totally inconsistent, but it's just a kind of a sign of the vastness of it. And then particularly with goalies, you know, the importance and how kind of like there's so much of it that is splitting hairs between these guys because they are all truly, truly excellent. So with all of that said, thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much for your insight. Thanks so much for joining the podcast. And to the listeners, thanks so much for joining. We hope you enjoyed it and definitely be keeping your ear out for plenty more high school content coming up.
Thanks, man. That was awesome. I had a blast.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.